6:12, we'll check in with Andrea Dallas in just a couple of minutes, live from New Hampshire with our friends at ABC News. And she was hanging out with the candidates last night, keeping an eye on people, making sure people are behaving. Well, speaking of behaving, Paul Conrad is standing by. We start the week with Paul. Good morning, Paul.
Hello.
So, Paul, I'm watching the game last night. Did you know the game was on?
I watched all of it.
Okay. Did you have the same sense that I did, sort of a bewilderment halfway through about how boring and flat it felt?
Yeah. I'm like, show me something.
And, you know, granted, it wasn't a big offensive game, defense not as exciting usually, but I'm blaming CBS, Jim Nance, and Phil Simms for doing bad TV.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. I'd put it pretty much all on Jim Nance.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What does it take to do good TV?
All right. So this is what...
Because that's your job. Yeah. Every day you come in, you've got to do good TV.
Right.
So I think the listeners can learn from this. How do you do good TV?
This is incredibly obvious to me, and I don't understand how they missed it. So I don't know if you saw, but at one point there was a commercial with goats or sheep.
Yeah, singing goats.
That were
goats.
Singing, right?
Yeah, singing sheep.
And I'm sitting there thinking, how do you not get these group of sheep together and have them sing the national anthem and then loose in the middle of the game?
Both of those are strong ideas.
Like line them up on the 50-yard line and kind of make them play a football game with live animals on the field. And, you know, I've long thought that we're kind of beyond just playing ball. Let's put some excitement back into the game.
You can't surprise us anymore.
Grizzly bear out there.
Yeah,
a tiger. Maybe something else.
The
right?
sheep probably is where we should start, and maybe we build to the grizzly bear.
Let them sing, because you got freaking sheep that know how to sing in harmony, like unbelievably good.
That was strong. That was really strong.
So you put them out there, and then you bring like some wolves.
So the key to good TV is letting wild animals run loose.
Well, it's going to bring some excitement.
Yeah, you're right about that.
And I'm gonna pay attention the whole time. The other thing is,
yes,
maybe you bring two people out of the stands. Let them play. Put them in uniform, like one Denver fan and one Carolina fan, and
that's
make them
a strong
play.
Idea. That's a strong
put
idea.
Them in any position, that way there's more fan participation, and it's going to get exciting. Make them play every down. Probably by the end of the first quarter, you could have a fatality. Out there, you got ambulances.
Everyone loves to watch that stuff. Tell me if you like this. I like a fat guy in a team jersey for one side.
Yeah.
And the other side, an angry wife or girlfriend.
There you go.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
This is like, I don't understand.
Like, we brainstormed success here in 2 minutes.
2 minutes. It didn't take us any time. And these guys have been working on this for all year. It's the 50th Super Bowl. We got it figured out in like 90 seconds.
Dave, your thoughts?
Well, what happens if the sheep eat the field?
It gets more exciting.
Yeah.
Then
yeah,
you're going to be pooping.
Yeah.
And then you got football players having to avoid stepping in poop, and the game's getting more interesting.
Every time you turn around. All right, now, I know you got to run, but you got to tell me, did you have a favorite commercial? Because I don't think we can be surprised anymore.
No.
I think we've seen everything.
Well, the only thing that got me was just singing sheep, because, frankly, I'm a fan of the arts.
What right?
It's singing. How you get sheep like that
to sing?
To sing.
What did you think of the Doritos baby flying out of the uterus?
There's part of me that feels like maybe I'm just getting old. I've seen all this.
You've seen flying babies?
I'm like, it's enough. Who cares?
That was my absolute favorite.
Your flying babies?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, flying babies
for sure.
Was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but
the NFL babies was strong. The NFL babies, the NFL family one. I thought that.
I
was
I don't
strong.
Know. I thought it was weird.
Well, I thought it was pretty strong.
I thought it was good.
Yeah. All right, so once again, kids, if you want to make good TV, get yourself a flock of singing sheep.
And bring in a lion and a bear and some other animals that can kill you.
Again, build that up.
And let them loose.
Yeah, build up to that. All right, buddy, I hope you have a great day.
You're welcome. God bless America.
And to you.
Sweet dreams.
Man, 99. That's Paul Conrad live from Channel 9. Again, we start each week with Paul for the wisdom that he shares with us.
I don't think letting predators loose on the field when you have 80,000 people in the stadium is really a good idea.
You want 3 more hours of Phil Simms?
Oh, yeah. I guess it is a good idea.
6:17. Mary's here with your traffic. $620 is live in New Hampshire for the primary. Last week we were in Iowa. We will have it covered all campaign long at WGNRadio.com/election. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing fine. I saw your pictures. You and I talked a bit last night. How is the Granite State?
The Granite State is great. I actually have never been to New Hampshire. It's beautiful. We're staying right on the river, so we have a great location. ABC News hosting us. So I'm sitting across from the morning show from Boston. They all say hi, by the way.
Hi, Boston. All right.
Which Boston's getting pounded with snow today.
They closed all the schools.
Yeah, we were watching the monitors on the hotel lobby this morning and saying, stay south, stay south.
Yeah, I think you guys are going to be okay. It looks like maybe some snow tomorrow, though, on Election Day.
Yeah, I think there's probably going to be a little bit of snow. But, yeah, the candidates are out in full force, Steve. I mean, it's crazy. They have it's what's interesting is each candidate has several events per day, like a coffee in the morning, a luncheon, and then usually a town hall or a rally. Hillary only has two events scheduled for today, which I find quite interesting.
I think she has conceded that she's going to get thumped here, and she's focusing down the road. I mean, she did her time in New Hampshire. But I think she's trying to spend her time in other places. She was in Flint, Michigan yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I think CNN has agreed to do a debate in Flint, Michigan upcoming. But here's the thing. You and I were surprised at how big the turnout was in Iowa. What are they saying about turnout in New Hampshire?
Turnout in New Hampshire, I think, is going to be crazy good, is what I've heard as well. ABC News reporting that 4 in 10 New Hampshire voters are still undecided, which is pretty good. I mean, you would think that it would be a little less of a margin. Who's really stumping hard? Rubio and Christie. I was at a Rubio rally last night, and we're going to talk more about that in the big story, Steve. But Rubio really gaining support and momentum, and Christie is a big favorite here as well.
Well, after he thumped on Rubio in the debate.
How about that?
Yeah, Rubio did not look good, but now he's in recovery mode, and if the polls hold, he should be. Well, he should be fine. Ted Cruz, meanwhile, there's another controversy this morning. Ted Cruz's mailer went out, which said there's a check enclosed. And when you open the mailer, the check enclosed is to be written by you and sent back to him as a donation. So another one of those sort of scammy emails. Anybody talking about that, or is Ted Cruz not a factor there?
Ted Cruz not a huge factor. I don't see any way. He was kind of touting yesterday that he was endorsed by some former Rand Paul supporters, and, you know, he thinks that's great. Most people don't really care too much. He had a town hall yesterday. It was interesting. He had a lot of these questions, and here's another. This, I don't want to say a controversy, but you know how you have an opportunity to go up to the microphone and ask questions, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Well, they had kids asking questions, so they had a 9-year-old little boy saying, "When you know, in 1992, Hillary said she wasn't going to bake cookies at the White House. Do you think you're going to be able to bake cookies?" You know, so they're tossing him these softball questions. I don't know if that hurt or helped. I don't think people really
care. Was this for Ted?
Yeah, this was for Ted
Cruz. So just showing the softer side of Ted, kind of? Was that the plan?
I think that was the plan, actually, yeah. So, of course, he took that and ran with it, saying that, you know, Hillary's running on an agenda from the past, blah, blah, blah. So, again, I don't think Ted Cruz is going to be a huge factor. I think Marco Rubio is going to be the one to watch. And you mentioned the debate faux pas, if you will. He just kind of stumbled.
He kept repeating the same stupid line over and over again.
Yeah, and Christie really pounded him on that yesterday. But and he was asked about that, not at the rally I was at. I was in Manchester. But he had one earlier in the day in Bedford. And he just kept saying, you know what, it's very tough. It's tough being out here. He's just relying on the support of his wife and his four kids, who were actually at the rally I was at, too.
Nobody
really
knows the trouble I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
The governors have to make a showing tomorrow to stay in the race. Now, the argument is Jeb Bush has enough money to hang out anyway. But if Jeb Bush gets thumped, it's going to get harder and harder to stick around. Kasich said if he gets thumped there, he's definitely out, but he actually is believed to be the strongest of the three, unless Christie passed him on Saturday night. And Dr. Carson says he's staying in regardless. So we may be stuck with this group.
Yeah, I think so, too. But I do agree with you. I think the governors have to make some sort of a showing here. Otherwise, no dice. And Jeb Bush only has one rally here today. You know, again, they're pounding the pavement today. They have nonstop schedules all day long through the evening, and Jeb Bush just has a town hall tonight.
Well, I would think that maybe that means it is what it is for him.
Yeah, I think that might be a decent indication of where they stand. But, yeah, the governors have to make a showing. Christie, I think, will probably stay in, even if he has a bad showing here. I think Christie will probably stay in for South Carolina and possibly on. But, yeah, Kasich and Bush really need to do something.
All right, so describe the media center where you are.
Oh, the media center where I am, it's about the size of Iowa, only it's over several floors. Like ABC News has an entire floor.
Oh, okay.
AP has a floor. CBS, Good Morning America actually has a small table outside where we are. And then a couple steps away is where they're doing all their stand-ups and their live shots.
Is Good Morning America live there, or the show, or are they still in New York?
No, I think they're still in New York.
And
they
what about
have a presence here?
What about Today? Is Today in town?
I haven't seen Today.
So I think they're probably going MSNBC and CNN. CNN's not in the hotel?
No, CNN's not in the hotel. C-SPAN is, though. They have a huge, huge bus, like a, you know, a tour bus out front. That was at the Rubio rally, too.
C-SPAN has a tour bus?
Yeah, they were taking pictures. People taking pictures.
How bad was the swag for the C-SPAN tour?
I don't know. Actually, no.
Everyone gets a bookmark!
No, right? You know what I've been surprised at, too, is that the accessibility of the candidates. The Rubio rally that I was at, I walked in. Of course, you show ID, but it was at a warehouse. It was supposed to be at a bar at a country club, which I thought of you and Dave and Kevin. I was going to play a little bit, but there's snow on the ground.
Yeah.
But they moved it to this warehouse, and it was packed, absolutely packed. But you can just walk right in, sit down, and then afterwards Rubio goes out in the crowd and is signing autographs and taking pictures and selfies. I mean, selfies are king at these events.
Now, we saw no selfie sticks in Iowa, and we believe they've been outlawed. Were there selfie sticks in New Hampshire?
I didn't see any, no.
They if might. You're the Secret Service, the last thing you want are people with sticks around your candidate.
No, I know. And literally, he was stepping into the crowd, taking pictures. People are going up saying, hey, can you say hi to my Aunt Tilly on the phone and you know, my Uncle Joe?
That's funny,
and he's
actually
picking up the phone and he's talking to, you know, Uncle Joe on the phone. Very accessible, though. Very accessible.
He's a likable guy, but he came across as a robot on Saturday night at the debate. And yesterday, prior to you getting to town, I think, there were people dressed in robot costumes who showed up at his first event of the day.
That was the one in Bedford, yeah.
All right, exactly. So you're where, Manchester?
Yeah, so I'm in downtown Manchester. I'm literally...
Can you see the... Like, if you like did a circle, could you see the entire state from where you are? It's not very big.
I possibly could. It's very pretty. Very
That's what I hear. It's beautiful. Dave, have you been in New Hampshire?
Yes, I have.
And do you agree it's beautiful?
It is very
I don't think
scenic.
I've ever been there. I don't remember ever being in New Hampshire.
Steve, Dave, what are the University of New Hampshire what?
Because we're flying right horned frogs.
Yeah,
flying
horned
frogs. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah,
I don't have to get you guys shirts.
You could go to Dartmouth. That's in New Hampshire. It's an Ivy League school.
Is Dartmouth in New Hampshire?
I could go to Dartmouth.
I think so.
I don't know. All right, big story from you in a couple of minutes. More from Andre in New Hampshire all morning, as a matter of fact, on 720 WGN.
Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore. On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before. And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Ah, people love the Dr. Most theme.
I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. Dr. Kevin Most joins us. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing fine, thanks. You know, my back went out yesterday morning again. I got this bulging disc.
Yep.
And usually it's golf season a couple of times a year, but in the past, I don't know, 2 or 3 months, it's happened a couple of times at work because we still haven't fixed our chair problem here in the studio. But as you know, I have a very dangerous job. Sometimes if I sit and then stand up, I could throw my back out.
Well, to be honest with you, sitting is the worst thing possible for your back. So you should ask them for one of those desks that raises so that you can stand for the two. How long do you work? Hour? 2 hours? What is the total?
The show's actually 4 hours, but with commercial time, news time. Merritt takes a lot of time for traffic, and obviously you heard how long Kevin and Dave take to do sports. I'm actually only on for 6.5 minutes for the entire four-hour show.
Yeah, so maybe standing for that part would be great.
Yeah. All right, well, then that's a helper. Now, for people who are having snack hangover from last night, what do you recommend today?
Yeah, you know, probably everybody ate poorly yesterday, right? What did you, how many billions of chicken wings were eaten yesterday and how many bad dips? And
yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's time to get back onto the health wagon here. So eat salads today and kind of push fluids because I'm sure a few Budweisers were imbibed in yesterday as well.
Well, you can have a food hangover, right? You can have a food hangover from all the crap you ate.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially when you eat really bad food, you know, it's going to work its way through your system. But it's, yeah, you can definitely have carbo loading and then you just have these big swings in your sugar throughout the day yesterday and you can feel pretty terrible the next day.
Let me go live to Kevin on this. Kevin's back from Scottsdale. Welcome back, Kev.
Yeah, good to be back.
Now you've behaved really, really well, but mm-hmm. Super Bowl is one of your holidays.
Right, and calories don't count on Super Bowl Sunday anyway, so I wouldn't say I was over the top, but when my dad makes chicken wrapped in bacon, thrown in the smoker for 2 hours and then lathered in barbecue sauce, I can't say no to that. So I had a few of those, had some pizza, had some chili, had some chips.
Good God, man. Kevin. How do you feel?
Yeah. I feel good, actually. It's like a throwback to the olden days.
You're not going to fall off the wagon, are you?
No. Back on track today.
Okay. All right, Doc. We'll do traffic and we'll come back on the other side. We have colon cancer to discuss. You got a personal story on this, as so many of us do. More coming up with Andrea Darlis live from New Hampshire. Primary tomorrow. Andrea is there today and tomorrow as well with ABC News Radio. Let's go back to Dr. Most here and let's talk about a subject that I don't know very many people. I don't know that I could name very many people that haven't been touched by colon cancer at some point in their life. I lost my dad to it, and you recently lost a cousin, right?
Yeah, you know, this kind of really, we've talked about colon cancer in the past, and this just really kind of hit home with me again just a few weeks ago. I lost my cousin Kathleen Duffy to colon cancer, and it's one of those that hits, when it hits your family and it hits you hard and you think about it, like you said, you lost your father. Well, let me tell you about Kathleen Duffy. This was a young, healthy girl with no risk factors. Did not smoke, was not in a sedentary lifestyle, was not obese at all, was an active, outgoing person, and died before the age of 50.
What do we know about that? How does that happen?
And you know what, Steve, when it happened, you know, it hit us all in the family very hard. My aunt and uncle, very close, and their other siblings and all the cousins are very close and tight. So it hit very tight. And it was kind of interesting that I said, you know what, I want to go back out and talk about this, just about the awareness of colon cancer, because as a country, we're terrible at screening. But what was really kind of gave me goosebumps was a week after she passed away, Cancer Journal came out with a study that showed 1 in 7 people with colon cancer are diagnosed before the age of 40.
1 in 7?
Yeah, I'm sorry, before the age of 50. We start screening at 50, but think about that.
I think Sherlock Holmes, there's something that's got to change, right?
Well, and that's what, you know, that's what's going to be thought about right now is, do we change? Do we move that screening up, or do we start doing other things? Because we're, to be honest with you, we're not doing a great job of colon cancer screening for people over the age of 50. 40% of people over the age of 50 have not had a colonoscopy. And I can tell you, I had a colonoscopy just recently, way later than I should have. And I had a precancerous tumor removed by Dr. Hoscheit. And I'll tell you, it's a wake-up call to all of us, and especially knowing that it can happen as early as it can.
I've had a couple of them, and everything you've heard about a colonoscopy is true. The prep is awful.
Yep.
The procedure is nothing. Nothing. I mean, you're not even going to know what happened.
Right.
You're going to have peace of mind, and they're either going to send you home for 3 years or 5 years or 7 years, depending on what they find, or they're going to find something, they're going to take care of it. But, yeah, you can't not do that.
But what if you're under 50? How do you know? What are the symptoms?
Yeah, and who at 40, who's living a healthy life at 40 or 45 goes, I can't wait to have a colonoscopy?
And if you're not bleeding or you're not tired, how do you know?
And that is the big thing, Kath, is that, you know, we really need to have doctors have this as a wake-up call. So someone in their 40s that comes in that's anemic or that's complaining of fatigue, we have to at least put that into the forefront of our mind, because colon cancer can no longer be thought of as a disease of the older people. That when we have this many cases, and this was not a small study, this is University of Michigan looking at 250,000 people, This is real data. This is not a little flash in the pan thing. So really, we have to make sure that we keep that up on the top of our mind as a possible differential diagnosis for someone who comes in. And we also need to inform people that you can check yourself at home for colon cancer. There are home tests right now.
Are they good?
Yes, they're very good, and they're very good for at least an initial screening. And if it tests positive, getting into the doctor then to have additional tests, even short of a colonoscopy, there's additional tests that we can do.
And these are over-the-counter things you can buy at a Walgreens, right?
Correct. Yep.
Well, it's scary stuff. And the procedures that go on if you go in and find out that there is cancer. I know that, like everything else with cancer, we've made great strides, but... if it's advanced, it gets very scary very fast.
Well, and even this study showed that the people that are diagnosed under the age of 50, the vast majority of them are advanced. So, but the great thing about the study actually showed that with very aggressive chemotherapy and radiation, a lot of them do well. A lot of them have a good 5-year and 10-year survival rate. Unfortunately, my cousin was in the exact same boat. When she was diagnosed, she had extensive cancer beyond the colon. So it's one of those where, wow, it's got to be a wake-up call. The medical field has to relook at, should we change some of the screening times? I'm not sure that's going to happen, but it really is an awareness. Anybody who has a family history of colon cancer, that gets moved to 40. African-Americans, 45.
And what about the insurance piece of this? Because, you know, one of the things that the Affordable Care Act was supposed to do is go to preventative medicine and not testing for everything. So our insurance company is going to, you know, you go in at 40 and go, I got a family history. I really want to get tested for this. Is it going to be covered?
Yeah, you know, that is the big interesting thing is that you say, wow, you know, if you look at what the recommendation is, it's 50. You're going to have your physician make a good case for why you're going to have it under the age of 50 probably for it to be covered by some insurances. I think other insurance companies are going to step up and say, you know what, Affordable Care Act, this is a covered service. We're going to move that time frame up. But when we still look at 40% of people haven't had it done, and we need to get the word out, too, for African-Americans that age is at 45. It's moved up.
Right.
And we need to, you know, this is a disease of developed countries. And why is that? Because we eat processed meats, because we have foods with preservatives in them. You look at places like Africa and Asia where colon cancer is almost non-existent. So it's another one where get off the couch, don't be sedentary, look at what you eat, eat a high-fiber diet, stay away from processed meats, sorry, Kevin, and you know, take care of ourselves.
And you like fiber supplements?
I do like fiber supplements. I don't think people get enough fiber in their diet. So taking something as simple as, you know, you can take it in a liquid form, you can take it in a pill form. Because if you ask people, tell me what's high in fiber, they're going to say like popcorn. You know, it's like, no, let's make sure we eat food that are good, high in fiber, which allow the intestines to be much healthier.
So the idea here, kids, is the best way to keep a healthy colon is to keep the system moving, right? We're trying to avoid graphic descriptions here at breakfast time, but people understand what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
You want what's coming in to flow through the system.
Yeah. And, you know, the future of this is going to be in genetics as well. You'll start to see a large study that's going to at least be started here in Chicago, or not in Chicago, will be one of them, one of the places where we're going to start collecting genetic data. And people are like, oh, I don't want my genetic data out there. You know, this is an opportunity for you to make a difference in generations to come because we know there's the genetic link to many cancers, but we don't have enough genetic data. So you're going to see people where their doctors are going to say, would you mind if we collected your genetic data? And I would recommend everyone, please go ahead and do it. It's a simple swab inside your mouth, and it's going to make a difference in the future.
And I got to tell you, we all worry about our data being collected. Most of us, me included, we're not that fascinating. We're just trying to help everybody, including ourselves, by moving forward. So let's stop the paranoia that somebody's going to come and invade our lives because it's a big, busy world, and the majority of data collection is for the right reason.
And it's going to make an impact on your grandkids or their kids. You know, it may not make an impact for us right now, but we have to start looking towards the future as well.
Well, Doc, useful information as always from you, and as usual, you're too smart for this show.
Yeah, I hate it to be a bummer today, but I think getting that word out is very important.
And did you watch the game?
I did watch the game. You know, the Manning family I really like.
Yeah, me
you know,
too.
My good friend Steve Melnick is very good friends with Archie Manning, and he tells me that those boys are just the nicest. And people probably don't know that there's a third son, Cooper, who is probably a better football player than the other two, except had a back issue and could never play college football.
Right. He's a financial whiz.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they're all doing great.
Yep.
Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
You got it. Talk to you soon.
That is Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day. Let's come back and get your news. Top of the hour, and then more from Andrea Darlis live from New Hampshire. Coming up after 7, big news out of O'Hare this morning. And maybe some new jobs, too. How about that? Back after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to station WGN.
Steve Cochran Show number 582 on Twitter at Cochran Show, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Text and phone calls to 312-981-7200. We haven't spent any time talking about the Super Bowl commercials because it's a hack move. Everybody does it. So we'll do that later where we have time.
Plus, there was nothing.
What?
We're not going to do the hack move now. We'll do the hack move later.
I mean, there was nothing that stands out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a couple worth talking about, I suppose. Andrea Darlis is in New Hampshire. Andrea, Ginger Evans is about to join us, but before she does, what's on the agenda for you this hour from the Media Center and beyond?
Well, actually, Chris Christie is in the house. He's at a place called JD's Tavern, Steve, which is kind of like Java Joe's. Remember where
yeah,
I was
it was the big go-to spot.
Yeah, big go-to spot. Chris Christie there is there this morning having coffee and kind of meeting and greeting, so we'll probably talk a little bit more about that in the big story, because I think New Hampshire's going to be very big. It could be very big for Chris Christie.
And are you running out there? Or is that too far away from where you are?
No, it's just a couple of floors down from where I am.
Oh, okay, so you'll be there as well.
Yeah, I'll be there as well. Huh? I'm kind of the every woman running everywhere.
That's right, running.
That's right, baby.
Running the show. That's exactly right. And good for you for doing it. Ginger Evans will join us now, and we're going to talk about some actual good news. And good news is what we need more of, because if we're talking about jobs. And we're talking about expansion at O'Hare. I'm behind it. Department of Aviation Commissioner Ginger Evans joins us now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve. And how about those Broncos? Can't help myself.
I was excited. Now, wait, do you have a tie to Denver, or are you just excited?
Yes. Yes. I built the Denver airport
yeah,
20 years
you,
ago.
I thought that was the case. Can I ask you a question? Why did you guys put the Denver airport just outside of Chicago? Because I love that airport. But when I land in Denver, I feel like I'm in the car for 3 days.
You know, it's 23 miles from central downtown Denver. There's this thing called the Rocks just west of Denver, these big, tall things.
Yeah,
Rocky Mountains. Ever heard of them?
I have heard of them. So, they're large and they're rocky.
Yeah, exactly. So we wanted to go a little bit farther east, away from the rocks. Give the pilots a little more maneuvering room.
All right, so give me credit for one stupid question.
Safety is our thing.
Yeah.
Safety is our thing.
Isn't it weird, though, how, you know, O'Hare here feels like it's not far away, but 23 miles in Colorado feels like it's a long way?
Well, it's so open.
Yeah, I guess
so. Yeah, and you can see the mountains, which is good, but you're not flying next to the mountains, which is better.
Very good. So the Rocky Mountains. I'm going to write that down. That's a good lesson for me today. All right, so a $1.3 billion infrastructure plan leads to several pieces of good news, we hope, but certainly this is one of them. What's happening at O'Hare?
Well, I came here last June on a mission, and I don't know if you've ever met the mayor, but patience is not a word that comes to mind.
No, not
a word that comes to mind. And so we have a 4-year plan to absolutely put O'Hare on a path to modernize and prepare for the 21st century. So our first milestone deal was reached in December, basically, and that's to kind of finish the airfield finish most of the airfield. One key element of that is eliminating a piece of a very old runway and a taxiway that basically opens up the backside of the terminal complex, which is great. It means we can build new concourses, build some new terminals, and it just really paves the way for a huge development at O'Hare. So we're very excited about that. And then, as you heard, we just also announced that we have a space for a little new concourse for 6 RJs, and we're gonna proceed with that while we undertake the $1.3 billion program.
So American Airlines has agreed to put in 5 new gates?
I think it'll actually, we can fit 6. We haven't done the design yet, but we're hoping to fix six RJ gates in kind of on the face of the central plat. So it's kind of a plant. So it's kind of around the corner from the existing L concourse, and it's just the last piece of, piece of real estate within the existing terminal platform. But we're, we're also working much more importantly on a on the plan for
the
what
big
we call
picture.
The terminal area, the big picture, which is the terminal area plan, which will basically take, we fixed the 1950s airfield. Now we're going to turn, our terminals are old. We love Terminal 1, but it's 29 years old. Two of our terminals are 53 years old. Can you imagine, Steve?
How about that? So Terminal 5 is where the new gates go, right? Maybe not.
Well, we will build some gates in that area. Terminal 5 is only 22 years old. So there's no question that that piece of real estate will get fully developed. But if you look to the west of the existing terminal area on several of the maps, and there's just to the west of there, there's two pieces of airfield pavement that have all this time blocked the existing terminals. And that's where our two big hubs are, United and American. And to add to their facilities, which we very much want to do to accommodate their growth plans, we'll basically build to the west. And once we take away those two pieces of airfield pavement, we have a piece of real estate that's huge. It's bigger than Atlanta's terminal platform. It's not quite as wide as Denver's, but it's as long as Denver. So it's be a huge improvement for aircraft movement, some nice new gates. Really will be spectacular.
So that's the key. We'll you open that door there, and then suddenly you've got room beyond room to do a bunch of cool, creative things. Andrea Darlis is in New Hampshire. Andrea, say hi to Ginger.
Good morning, Ginger. Hey, wanted to ask you how this is going to affect noise and the flight patterns, because I know there's two new flight patterns. When I say new, within the past year, one kind of along Roosevelt, the other along just north of Irving. Will that affect those flight patterns and create more noise?
Well, what it will do is it'll put the noise into keeping with what we said the noise would be when we did the environmental approvals. So when we modeled the noise exposure, it included these six parallel runways. Today we have a grossly unacceptable situation in Schiller Park where they're taking more of the noise because that north runway isn't completed. And we don't have a big, long international runway on the north side. So this will put the noise in balance the way it was modeled, the way it was declared. And it means that we'll have more balanced use east and west and north and south, which today we haven't had. The Roosevelt Road traffic is from runway 10 right that opened last October. That was a significant change in that it gave more what we call east flow, and that gives some citizens on the northeast some relief because primarily O'Hare has used west flow up until now about 70% of the time. So as the weather gets better and we don't have winter weather, we expect air traffic will more heavily use that south quadrant to more heavily use east flow.
You know, the thing too, Andrea, is, and maybe you knew this, I didn't, but we're going back to like 1987 before the significant expansion, or the last time there was significant expansion, and 93 mm-hmm. was the last time there was gate expansion. So all this is warranted. And what are we talking about job-wise? Because I know this is going to create jobs, Ginger.
Well, the $1.3 billion program, we're saying, 5,000 or 6,000, jobs. Those are heavy, what we call heavy civil projects. So they're more equipment, centric rather than, labor centric.
Okay.
When we get around to doing the gates, those are more jobs intensive because you've got finishes, a bunch of work inside. So, the next deal that we'll announce, for the terminals will be much more labor intensive. We do have, in addition, the airlines have about doubled the what we call the R&R at O'Hare from about $180 million a year to about $400 million a year. So we're going to have a lot more small construction projects, too, which will help people in some of those trades while we get ready for the big deal. So lots of good news. We also, you may have noticed, we're making a bunch of improvements inside the existing terminal. We've refurbished all the Starbucks. We now have more grab and go at the Starbucks. We're going to open the summer house and a publican at O'Hare in the next month.
Cool.
So we're refreshing a lot of the customer services. We've added seating. We're adding technology because, you know, it's time consuming to fix these terminals. It's going to take us some time to design them and construct them. We have to be very careful. 77 million passengers go through O'Hare every year. While that's all happening, we're going to refresh O'Hare and make it more customer friendly. A huge priority for the mayor.
Well, it's a good day. It's a good day, Ginger, and that's a happy piece of Monday news. So congratulations on announcing it, and let's keep it moving. You're welcome here whenever you have good news. And when you have bad news, you're welcome as well. We're just not going to enjoy it as much.
Hey, we, you know what? This is a city that gets stuff done, and we know what hard work means, and we're just thoroughly enjoying the city, and it's I'll definitely be back to talk more about all the problems we have to overcome, as well as the huge opportunity for the city associated with taking O'Hare into the 21st century.
And tell Mayor Patience we said hello.
I would do that.
All right, Ginger, thank
Take
you.
Care.
Ginger Bye. Evans is Chicago Department of Aviation Commissioner. So, you know, all told, Andrea, we're talking about plus 5,000 jobs.
Yeah, and this has been a long time in the making, too, Steve. We've had Congressman Quigley on talking with us about this, and their goal, too, is to reduce the noise and the pollution and make it better for everybody. That's why they installed some of those new flight patterns to which she was referring. So, I mean, it is win-win.
O'Hare's
getting bigger. It needs to be improved.
And, Mary, I'm sure the people of Schiller Park appreciate the recognition that they're under a noise pollution problem, and, you know, everybody's got to work on it beyond what's even been discussed. And Quigley's all over that, right, Congressman Quigley?
Oh, yeah. Congressman Quigley is a champion for that, too, because there's been all kinds of noise complaints, you know, Bensonville and Addison and the surrounding areas, too. But this will hopefully not only, as you said, Steve, create jobs, but alleviate some of that noise pollution and congestion, too.
Andrea is going to go attack the New Hampshire area and find herself a Governor Christie or someone else here in just a couple of moments. I actually like when she talks to the civilians. It's traffic time with Mary on 720 WGN. Broncos linebacker Von Miller, MVP of Super Bowl 50. When's the last time a defender was Super Bowl MVP?
Ooh, man, it's been a long time.
2000, maybe, the Ravens?
Yeah, Ray Lewis. I think there's been maybe one or two since then, but not many.
Last night, one of the stories that came out of the Super Bowl loss is Cam Newton wasn't smiling so much after the game. And after the game, he was pouty and spoiled and, you know, unpleasant. So I will now be Cam Newton. Dave, you be the reporters asking me questions, and I will give you what Cam Newton was like after the game.
Cam, could you explain what happened to your offense tonight?
Nope.
Did Denver do something different than what you saw on film going into the game?
Nope.
Cam, how does this rank in terms of disappointments for you?
Nope.
No, Cam, can you kind of explain your feelings, how you're feeling at the moment?
They scored more than we did.
Well, we understand that, Cam, but can you explain how you were unable to score after you had such a wonderful regular season?
They got more points.
Cam, who was responsible for your problems on offense?
I got to go. And then he gets up and he walks off. Mm-hmm. You think I'm kidding? Listen.
Got to play, bro.
Anything Denver did defensively that, I mean, I know you've seen them, studied them, pretty much what you had seen on film. Was there anything different you think they put in for this game?
Nothing different.
And then he gets up and he walks away. Mm-hmm. See, I need to work out got outplayed into my really incredible impression of Cam Newton. We got outplayed, bro.
You know, I think you nailed it.
We got outplayed. Got outplayed, bro.
I think you did.
He is incredibly likable 99% of the time. But that's the guy that was the guy from the first season who was coming off controversy in college, who had a lot of bad losses and was pouty and insolent and other things afterwards. So, you know, as you mentioned earlier, act like the guy across the hall. Act like the guy who just won his second Super Bowl, and you're going to have an amazing career, and nobody will be able to stop you. No question the talent's there. And I think in a Super Bowl situation, you almost have to lose one to win one if you're a quarterback. And I think he'll win one. I think he might win more than one. And I think Ron Rivera will get his. Ron Rivera was nothing but classy, but he was disappointing.
I have a hunch that Ron Rivera, not last night, it wouldn't have been the time to do it, but I have a hunch in the days ahead he will sit down maybe on the postseason exit interview and have a talk with Cam.
I would think, wouldn't you?
How you conduct yourself.
Yeah. Let's go live to Kevin at NFL headquarters in New York for an update on the last time a defender won the MVP. Kevin, you're in New York?
Yeah, live in New York. Malcolm Smith, linebacker, Seattle Seahawks, which...
last year?
Just 2 years ago, yeah.
2 years ago.
When they beat the Denver Broncos. Live from the NFL headquarters in New York, Kevin Powell, WGN Sports.
Would have been odd if the Seahawks had the MVP last year.
Yes.
Remember they choked away the ending?
Yes, I do remember that right at the end of the game.
Peyton, is this your final game for your career?
You know, I'll take some time to reflect. I got a couple of priorities first. I want to go kiss my wife and my kids. I want to go, you know, hug my family. I'm going to drink a lot of Budweiser tonight, Tracy. I promise you that.
An animal.
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal.
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. We'll get to Hamp in just a second. Before we do, an explanation on the Budweiser references three or four different times. Players in the NFL can't endorse liquor. So
correct.
What was he talking about?
Well, apparently he's got a financial interest in a couple of Budweiser distributorships.
Oh, good for him.
Has.
Good for him.
So he might as well. Listen, Harry Carey for years was pitching the product. And look, he sold a lot of Budweiser in this town. And I'm sure Peyton Manning sold a lot of Budweiser last night.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He's protecting business interests. He's hugging the Papa John's guy. He's mentioned a Budweiser.
That's right.
All this leads to retirement. Got to take care of. I'm going to be on a fixed income soon if I don't do this. What did you think of the halftime show, Mer?
I thought it was fabulous.
You a Coldplay fan?
Not really, but I think it was cool. I love the colors. It was so psychedelic and neat and, you know, but once, as soon as Uptown, you know,
well, that's the thing.
I
tweeted out,
Bruno.
What's harder, to make Coldplay funkier or to make Bruno Mars and Beyonce whiter?
Yeah.
And I think it's made Coldplay funky. But Chris Martin, is that his name?
Yes.
Chris Martin?
Yes.
When he joined Bruno Mars and Beyonce for their quick little sing-off at the end, it was pretty good.
That was very cool.
But, yeah, Bruno Mars, you know they talk about having a locked-down Super Bowl location? They're never going to do it, but they talk about keeping it in one area. Bruno Mars could do the halftime show every year, as far as I'm concerned. He took a two-year-old song that we've all heard 10,000 times, and we couldn't have been more thrilled to hear it again.
And he was a late entry, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't going to do it, but Beyonce, nothing.
You know, I thought it was the best thing about the halftime when they showed all of the previous halftime performers.
That was kind of cool.
And a lot of them are gone.
Yes.
That was kind of cool.
That was also kind of stunning.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
They didn't put Prince in there, though. My man, Prince.
He wasn't in there?
He
was there when the Bears played in Miami against Peyton Manning
exactly.
and the Colts.
And speaking of that, you just brought up something off air which needs to be mentioned, especially in Chicago. Last night, they said it three different times.
I know.
This is the first time a head coach has won the Super Bowl for the team he played for. I don't think so.
Yeah. Anybody remember the coach?
Ditka, 30 years ago for the team he played for. And you reminded me of another one.
Tom Flores with the Raiders. But the Ditka thing.
How do you not know that?
I mean, it had so much attention the last couple of weeks with the 30th anniversary. And Ditka was there. I mean, I don't get how they could have possibly forgotten that.
That was very odd.
But I did think what was great, bringing out all of the Super Bowl MVPs from the previous 49 Super Bowls.
Cool.
Of course, Tom Brady was a three. He was the only guy who got booed.
Were they ever booing him?
Booed
that
heavy.
Was mean.
Heavy. Lady Gaga, great job on the anthem.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
Nailed it. Completely
fantastic.
Nailed it. What's with the red eyeshadow?
Matched her outfit.
I've never seen red eyes.
It was just a little. She did look like the chick on Hunger Games, though. I can't remember her name, but the blonde lady on Hunger Games. She did kind of look like her. She just resembled her. It was kind of a different look, but she outstanding job, don't you think?
I thought she was great.
Not a Whitney, but it was close.
Well, the Whitney thing was special circumstances, too. That was golf one, and everybody was wrapped up at a moment.
Yeah.
Kevin, what's the status of Mr. Hampton?
The only status they have is he's not answering his phone, so I'll keep trying.
All right, if you're with Dan Hampton now, please tell him to answer his phone.
This would be great.
Let's do traffic. We'll come back and hopefully have Hamp on the other side. We're going to shift gears here because Mr. Hampton is not available at this moment. And we'll come back in just a second, check back in with Andrea in New Hampshire, and maybe talk a little bit about the commercials in the Super Bowl. Even though it's a hack move, we'll do it differently.
Can I clarify one thing?
Did we screw up?
Well, it's semantics, I guess. Ditka didn't he didn't play in a Super Bowl for the Bears because they didn't have a Super Bowl when he was playing.
Oh, Nance said Super Bowl.
But did he? See, that's the question. I'm not sure he did. The question was, and here's the other thing. Flores also coached a team to a Super Bowl victory, the same team he played for. That was the same with Ditka. Kubiak was part of a Super Bowl winning team as a player and then coached that team to a Super Bowl win. So, I mean, it's kind of, yeah.
All right. Well, Dave, I got to tell you, I knew that the whole time. I was just shocked you went down there.
Thank you very much.
All right, we stand semi-correct. How about this? We stand semi-corrected.
Well, no, because I'm not sure he said Super Bowl last night. Or that I
all right, I stand times. Semi-corrected. No, you refuse to give in.
No, I mean, I think the point is the same.
Yeah. All right. Listen, I'll be here if anything changes. All right, I didn't plan on talking about the Super Bowl commercials because everybody does it today and blah, 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 blah. So let me just give you some perspective here. I think that the Super Bowl commercials price has got to come down. Now you're saying, why, Steve? There's still that amount of eyeballs that tune in. The eyeballs are there. But I think we've reached a point where people are starting to actually do what we normally do during some commercial breaks. Get up, go to the bathroom, get snacks, do whatever. Because we're not surprised and delighted by the Super Bowl commercials anymore. We've seen it. We've seen it. You can't surprise us anymore. So we're not probably going to stick around and watch them like we used to. When you combine that with the early release, when they release them a week ahead of time, when you can see them online.
Yeah, I think that had a lot to do with the early release. But another weird thing, did you notice how many promos there were yesterday for upcoming TV shows and upcoming movies? I thought there were more promos than commercials. I mean, every time I watched it, there were like two promos, one commercial. Every
there was
break,
a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff going on. So you couldn't tell. Sometimes there was so much action with the new shows coming out. You couldn't tell if it was a new commercial or a new promo. Then you're like, oh, crap, it's a promo. I could have gone to the bathroom.
All right. off the top of your head, what commercial was memorable?
Top of my head was the baby Dorito one.
Doritos
that
is
was
it.
My, I think that's the one everybody's talking about, except Puppy Monkey Baby. It was kind of gross.
Hated that diaper situation.
And by the way,
I like puppies. I like monkeys. And I certainly like babies. But I don't like them all together.
Yeah. And there were a lot of things promoting, you know, the drunk driving thing with Helen Mirren. Then there was the Colgate one with make sure you turn off your water. Did you watch that one?
Yeah.
Where, you know, the average person, you know, uses 5 gallons of water by the water running.
I don't think you win in any way, shape, or form by running serious commercials during the Super Bowl.
Unless they're funny, like the constipation one. The constipation one with the lady in the toilet paper on her foot when she was walking away. Were you in the bathroom at the time?
Constipation is never funny.
This was funny. Did you see it, Dave?
I did see it. It wasn't my favorite. I mean,
it was my favorite, but I thought it was interesting that they would use advertise a drug or whatever for your chronic constipation problem.
Yeah, I missed it. And now the more you describe it, the more I'm glad I missed it. Drake for T-Mobile rated high. I don't particularly know why, other than the fact that it was commercial nerds saying you got to add this, you got to add that, disclaimers into the Drake song.
Steve Harvey.
The Steve Harvey T-Mobile, which made fun of the Verizon balls going down the ramp.
Yes.
That was funny because Steve Harvey goes, I know, I got it right this time. It's on the card.
That was funny. The Alec Baldwin one.
All right.
Who was he with?
Dan Marino.
That was kind of funny.
And the new Amazon thing.
They're trying to outdo each other.
Yeah, the Amazon thing where you can tell it what to do. What's the name of the Amazon thing?
Amazon Echo. That was a good one.
We actually remembered something we learned from a commercial.
All right, now let me ask you this. There was an early Audi spot in the game.
Oh, that was the Kevin Hart one, wasn't it?
The astronaut.
No, the astronaut. And the astronaut
commander, they call it.
Yes, but the astronaut appears to have some form of Alzheimer's or dementia.
So some people don't think he did, though. They thought he was just somebody
bored,
sitting there dreaming of being, you know, going to space.
Okay.
I thought he had dementia.
Yeah. So my point is, if there's a commercial and you can leave that sort of negative impression, like, I don't think the guy ought to be driving, even if he is inspired. I think if you leave that thought in somebody's head, you can't do that commercial, regardless of what their intent was.
I agree. And I thought, I don't want to be the guy in the car with him.
The Heinz Wiener.
The kid that was going.
The Heinz Wiener Stampede doesn't work in Chicago because you can't put ketchup on a hot dog.
I didn't like the dog wieners running around.
Let me go back to New Hampshire. Andrea's back at the microphone. Was there a commercial that stood out for you?
You know what? No one's talking about the Super Bowl babies.
No,
did you guys see the one with Seal?
Yeah, Dave and I talked about that. I thought that was the best one.
Best one.
I love that commercial. And I like that Jeff Goldblum moving on up. I just don't think he's that great of a singer.
No, but hold on a second. I'm glad you brought this up because here's the point. The average apartment renter is what age? 25 to 40?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're not going to know the Jeffersons.
They're not
going to
know
the
Jeffersons.
No.
I didn't get, and they're not going to know Goldblum much either. And what was with the piano, you know, singing?
Well, the apartment.com thing he's done for the last year is supposed to be weird. That's his whole hook. But I like the commercial production of it. I just think it missed for the apartment renting community. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. It was just the wrong demographics.
What do you think of Amy Schumer and Seth Rogen for the Bud Light party?
No, I didn't like that one at all.
Yeah, it didn't work.
I'm not a fan of either of them, so.
It was too long. It just seemed to go on forever.
Plus, it wasn't funny.
No.
Avocados in Space with Scott Baio?
No.
Yeah, me either.
Wouldn't do anything for me.
Axe Body Spray, Find Your Magic with the Dude of the Kittens?
No. Yeah, must have been in the bathroom.
Didn't care. How about the dogs driving the Subaru?
I'm a sucker for dogs driving.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I like that one with the puppy in the back seat, in the baby's seat.
Yeah, exactly. Kevin Hart, the Hyundai first date was funny. Not hilarious, but
that's the one I loved. That was right at the beginning. I thought that was adorable.
And I don't remember a Pepsi commercial. Was there a Pepsi commercial? Because there usually is.
There was a Coke commercial.
Somebody said Janelle Monáe was in a Pepsi commercial.
Okay. That was right before the halftime show.
Yeah,
it was okay.
There was the Steven Tyler Skittles.
Oh, I loved that one. Yes, where the lips were moving like Skittles and then they exploded.
Yeah, Steven Tyler Skittle head exploded.
I loved that one.
Andrea, the point I was making before you rejoined us, Andrea's live in New Hampshire, is I think we have seen the commercials online and we've seen all the commercials anyway. We can't be surprised anymore, so they're having less impact than ever.
Yeah, I completely agree. When you used to watch the Super Bowl, everybody would go shh, and the commercials would come on and you'd have a good laugh. But yeah, we see them. They shouldn't release them. They shouldn't pre-release them, because honestly, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to watch the game because I'm here in New Hampshire, so I watched all the commercials before the game so I would know.
More from Andrea coming up live from New Hampshire. In the meantime, I didn't want to tell you guys this, but they wanted to put a Steve Cochran Show commercial on the Super Bowl, and I said, I don't think we should spend $5 million on it.
Well, I think that's a wise
decision. I think it's an overspend.
Yeah. It's too bad because all that work that went into that commercial just went for naught.
Well, I just don't want people going to the bathroom during the commercial because, you know, I've got some experience in that area.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me, kiss me.
Sponsored by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center. We go to Channel 9 where Dean Richards is standing by.
Uptown Funk You Up. Andrea's in New Hampshire. Andrea, say hi to Dean.
I like your rendition.
Being very careful what I'm saying there, by the way.
My Uptown
Flip of the tongue history that I've got, right?
Yeah, no kidding. You're past. Did I say this? Sponsored by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center? Yeah,
I believe
good
he did. Yeah.
Dean Richards is here, and we were talking about the commercials because by federal law, a lot of people don't know this, the FCC requires that every radio show and every television newscast talk about the commercials the day after the Super Bowl.
That is correct. That's right. We could lose our license if we don't talk about it until you're ready to throw up.
Hyundai First Date, highest rated in the USA Today ad tracker.
That was the Kevin Hart commercial?
Yep. Wiener Stampede followed that. Doritos Ultrasound, the Doritos Dogs. The Hyundai Ryanville, that was with Ryan, the actor, Ryan Reynolds.
Yep.
He's dreamy.
Whose new movie, by the way, Deadpool?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Is it good?
Oh, really? Oh,
awesome.
Good. I'm so excited.
Awesome.
I love him.
One of the best superhero movies I've seen in years, literally. And that is a review.
Number 11 on the list was one of my favorite commercials, and it caught you by surprise. It's a little short promo for Universal's new movie, The Secret Life of Pets. And the entire commercial, well, a good portion of the commercial, are animated dogs in a circle sniffing each other's butts going, hello, hello, how are you? Hello.
That's right.
I mean, that was funny.
That was good.
12, the Super Bowl Babies Choir with Seal. Tremendous.
It was awesome, yep.
Tremendous. The Jeep Portraits at 13. That was as artsy.
That was the big serious one. Every year they have one like super serious one.
Oh, that was good.
That was really good, yeah.
Yeah, that was good. And I'm looking quickly down the list. The rest of them were mostly crap. I mean, does anything else jump out for you?
I have to beg to differ with you on Puppy Monkey Baby.
Oh, I hated it. It was
so weird. I had to like rewind my DVR and watch it over and over. It's like, what is that?
Well, did you notice the human part is the butt? You know, I mean, couldn't they make a cute baby face at least or something?
It was just such a freak show. It was just so weird.
I mean, I know you're with me on this because I like puppies, I like monkeys, I like babies. I just don't want them all together.
That's the point, though.
What part of that thing was a puppy?
The head.
Puppy head.
It was a monkey, wasn't it?
No, puppy head, monkey tail, baby.
It was
baby.
like a Shar-Pei or something, you know.
Oh.
One of those wrinkly.
A pug, like a little pug.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I like the, I'm not exactly sure what the advertiser was. I think avocados, the Scott Baio commercial.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny. I enjoyed that. Yeah. I enjoyed...
You like Anthony Hopkins for TurboTax? He's not selling out?
That was funny.
That was all right. Yeah.
I liked that. I liked our friend, whose name is going to completely escape me, the English actress, Helen Mirren. Helen Mirren, did you see that toward the end?
Yeah, that was good.
Toward the end of the game, telling people to not drink and drive. Steve, there was a diarrhea commercial. How do you not mention a diarrhea commercial in your list of fantastic commercials?
Here's the thing that, and I mentioned this last half hour, I think they've either got to stop releasing them early, and they probably won't because they get extra bang for their buck that way, or they got to start charging less because people have never been less interested in the commercials. If you're at a Super Bowl party yesterday, people used to just, commercials are on.
Yep.
Now they talk through them or they go do something else.
Because you've pretty much seen them all before they ever get on the air. I just don't think the commercials are the big deal that they used to be. I mean, literally, we're talking about it because that's what you do the day after the Super Bowl.
It's the law, Dean.
It's the law. It's the law. But really, the impact. And really, I mean, there were some, I thought some funny ones, some, you know, impactful ones. I can't really say, wow, there was one commercial that really stood out.
Nobody crushed it.
Among all the rest. And I agree with you. I think it's because we've been seeing many of these commercials online and they've leaked them all over the place way ahead of time. It doesn't have the same impact.
The lowest rated commercial actually featured several of the NFL pregame guys. It was the Jublia toe fungus commercial. ask your doctor if Jublia is right for you. 63 out of 63.
Yeah.
So
weird one.
All right. We'll come back. We'll talk about the other stuff in show business. Ask Dean about the halftime show as well. Andrea is in New Hampshire. Did you get a chance to talk to Christie's people?
Audrey? I did talk to Christie's people, and I interviewed his wife as well. She's very delightful.
All right, good. So
you'll
have that.
Very delightful lady.
And then
I have a question. That is the big story. And I have a question for Dean about a bombshell. I almost had a heart attack during the Super Bowl.
I know what she's going to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
It's the end of her favorite TV show.
Oh, please. Steve, don't keep repeating it.
Coming up, 8:16, traffic first. Back to Mary. I mean, that's all you need. You know, Dean and Andrea is in New Hampshire. You know, I was making a point earlier that Everybody's heard that song 10,000 times,
yep.
And you couldn't have been happier when you heard it again.
And he did a great job performing
it. I crushed it. Crushed it, as the kids say.
Did a great job. I enjoyed all three of them together. It was weird, number one, seeing the halftime show done in the daylight.
It went out weird. Yeah, it takes some of the intimacy away.
It does. And the way that they shot it with some sort of special effect, you know, so it looked like it was on video. It didn't look live to me.
It looked, no, it did look taped. They were apparently performing in a giant spirograph.
The colors were beautiful. Not a Coldplay. What's up with Chris Martin, though, crouching down the whole time? People were putting on Twitter, hashtag spineless without Gwyneth.
Gwyneth was there with the kids.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I have nothing bad to say about any of them. I enjoyed it all. I would have liked to have seen all of them more.
More Beyonce.
That's the only thing is I felt like...
All right, now I'm going to ask you a question. Because, as you know, Dean and I are not experts on hair. Was Beyonce having a bad hair day? Was that something about where she was? Was there too much hair for her head? What was going on there?
I think she looked good.
You know what I think? I think she has got a hidden fan in her brassiere because her hair is always... involved, there's a fan by her all the time. Did you notice
that? Is that a new product, a new bra fan?
I think there is one.
I wear one of those.
Okay.
Gotta be.
I get warm. So
that wasn't a bad hair day. That was intentional.
I think she looked good.
Her hair was fine. I mean, Lady Gaga's hair was weird. But
Lady Gaga killed the anthem, didn't she?
Killed it.
She was awesome.
She's awesome. And I'm so surprised people are still shocked what a great singer Lady Gaga is. After touring all last summer with Tony Bennett and, you know, keeping up with Tony Bennett step for step, showing what a great vocalist she is. When she was on the Oscars last year with that Sound of Music tribute and sounded amazing, Lady Gaga is the real deal when it comes to, like,
ridiculously
amazing
talented
vocalist. Not a bit surprised that she did such a great job.
If I get stranded on an island, Dean, I'd like Lady Gaga and Adele there just to sing to me.
Right. Exactly. Did you notice Beyonce almost fell at one
time?
I did see that.
Little stumble.
She does crouching down as part of her choreography and slightly lost her balance.
Who amongst us doesn't have problems in heels? Come on.
Completely.
Well, when you try to dance with Bruno, you can't try to dance with him. He is phenomenal.
Well, on the grass,
she's had
too.
No chance.
Yeah. This was on the runway, though.
She was up on
the hard runway, but... even though she recovered beautifully, you have to just be as picky as me to, like, really nitpick the heck out of something to find something to talk about. Because otherwise, it was just a really, really fun show. They announced that Beyonce is launching a 30-city summer tour, which will bring her to Chicago in May 27th at Soldier Field. And tickets are going to go on sale for that on February
16th. Was
that
the title track from the tour that she did? That was a new song she did.
Formation.
Yeah, it was like a Janet Jackson Rhythm Nation thing.
Yeah, the song is called Formation. Interestingly, as part of that video, there is a sequence in which she deals with the problem of police violence. And there's graffiti on a wall that says, "Stop shooting us." And police associations are calling Beyonce now anti-police. During the performance, there was a point at which the association, the National Sheriff's Organization meeting that was going on, turned their backs because they're now feeling that Beyonce is being an anti-police proponent because she doesn't want innocent people shot.
Look, what are you going to say about that? I mean, obviously art has its side and the police have their side, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The Honda truck, the texters are chiming in on the commercials. The Honda truck commercial with the singing sheep.
Also a good one.
Doing Queen, Somebody to Love.
Yeah, also a good one. I enjoyed the...
Did you like the marmots?
I didn't quite understand that one.
The marmots, I'm not that kind of marmot when the guy goes to kiss the marmot after they had their marmot moment. Marmot makes a nice jacket, though. They really do. You guys know the marmot line?
I think I've seen it.
Yeah, outdoor marmots.
I think I've seen it. I enjoyed the Prius commercial also where there's this big police chase.
And the police chase in a Prius,
The Prius is outrunning them. Did you notice that it was filmed in Chicago? Lots of Chicago landmarks.
I noticed that.
Very very prevalent.
What did you think of the Snickers Marilyn Monroe?
Loved it.
Like that one, too, with Willem Dafoe dressed up as Marilyn Monroe with the dress blowing up. I don't think I ever need to see that much Willem Dafoe ever again.
But you know what? I tweeted this out last night. Even Willem Dafoe in a dress can't ruin that scene for me. So, Andre, any other thoughts on the commercials?
I have to ask him. I was blown away when it, when they did, you know, they're doing all these, you know, coming up, this, that, and the other. Then they said the final season of The Good Wife. And
yep.
I said, oh,
what?
Next year? Oh, no, 9 more episodes
exactly,
left.
Right?
Huh?
Yep.
Jaw drop?
Yep, they decided to call it quits. I think this is a cool way to announce it also.
Oh,
without,
yeah.
Without
cool.
making
I almost
a big
had a heart
deal.
Attack,
yeah, it was nice. It was just a cool, you know, subtle yet in front of one of the largest television audiences in the world of saying that the whole thing is going to be over. So this coming Sunday night will begin the end. There'll be 9 episodes starting this coming Sunday night.
Did they say why, Dean? I mean, because the ratings are great.
Because they're worried about you because you don't know it's a TV show. That's
nobody
why they're
talks
canceling.
About it except
Steve,
Andrea. I don't hear anybody
true.
Else talking
that
about it.
That is not true.
Really?
I put it on Facebook and I got like 63 comments already.
Wow.
They're all me, but... No, why, Dean? No, why now?
They just feel like they want to go out on top. They have made some statements in the Television Critics Association meetings. They were talking kind of in a roundabout way. They weren't saying that the show is going to end, but they're talking about how they were sort of looking for a natural ending, that it's been a creative experience of a lifetime. Looking back at what some of the things that they've said now at that meeting that was about a month or so ago, you know, they're saying we're looking forward to using this season to bring Alicia's story to a natural conclusion. So without saying that the show is ending, now that we know it is ending, they're, like a lot of shows, just want to go out on top. You know, don't want to wait until the show jumps the shark.
Castle may not be back as well.
What?
Castle's back tonight for their second half of the season. But there's a discussion that they may actually spin it off into a new show and not bring back Castle.
Oh, probably involving the daughter.
Dean's running Colbert and James Corden video this morning on Channel 9, so you can check that out.
Yeah,
but James Corden with Elton John was pretty good.
Yeah, worth taking a look. It's all over social media. James Corden did one of those carpool karaoke's with Elton John. That's pretty funny. And
they stole that from us. We did that last year.
You guys did it first, I got to say.
It's outrageous.
Yep.
And was Colbert good? I've not seen it.
You know, it was a good live show. The guests were good. Will Ferrell comes out in like a safari clothes, has a rifle around his arm, you know, safari hat. Safari.
Oh, like what's his name from the Columbus Zoo?
Yeah. He comes out and says, I've noticed on your new show you don't have an animal expert yet. So he comes out and
he's just such an idiot.
Yeah, they wanted to bring some exotic animals, and they bring the first animal out. It's a kitty cat. He brings the second one out as a gerbil. The next one, it's like a chipmunk, a chicken. It was funny. There were some really funny moments on the show.
Thank you, buddy.
All right.
That's Dean Richards from Channel 9. Andrea, you have the big story next from New Hampshire. Well, Andrea is preparing more good times from New Hampshire. Andrea, and feel free to jump in here as we talk to our friend Adam Hoge, at Adam Hoge. And Hoge, of course, had the job of chasing around not just the Bears but the NFL all year. And I assume you'll write about this Super Bowl. Where do we see what you write, Adam?
WGNradio.com/Bears, the place.
All right, so look, I feel like I was talked out of my gut feel that the Broncos would win this, and I caved, so it's my fault. I picked the Panthers 17-13, but in my head I'm thinking, you know, this Denver defense handled Roethlisberger and then Tom Brady. Why couldn't they handle Cam Newton?
Yeah, I underestimated the Broncos defense, I think, a little bit. I didn't put them up with some of the greatest Super Bowl defenses ever, and I still don't know that I'm willing to do that. I think maybe in an individual performance in a Super Bowl, you list it as one of the great performances. But they dominated the line of scrimmage, and that was enough last night for them to beat the Panthers, because Cam Newton was running all over the place. I think the lack of weapons that he has finally kind of was exposed because of the lack of time he had to throw the football, and it was a great performance. Von Miller was unbelievable. He had a great game. And so, you know, I want to give the Broncos a lot of credit, but at the same time, the Panthers, I felt like from the start of the game, did not show up. I mean, you had a whole bunch of mistakes. On top of the turnovers, you had the punt return where they didn't even tackle the punt returner. If they had timed that up perfectly, they probably could have jarred the ball loose. Instead, they didn't even tackle him, and the guy runs it all the way back down into the red zone. And then you have the missed field goal, too. There were just mistakes all over the board for the Panthers yesterday. And I thought that, so on top of the Broncos defense dominating, which they did, there was other areas in this game in the other two phases where I just thought the Panthers didn't show up.
And when you look at the play of Peyton Manning, he didn't win it, but I think more importantly, he didn't lose it.
That's right. And I think that, you know, somewhere along the way this year, probably as he was sitting on the bench late in the season, he probably realized that that's how he had to adjust and approach the playoffs. Probably take an introspective look and realize, hey, I'm not the Peyton Manning I used to be. And I thought throughout the playoffs, he kind of dialed down his game a little bit, was a lot safer with his throws, relied on his smarts, which, of course, we've seen throughout his entire NFL career and even going back to college at Tennessee. And his experience won out. And I think that that's where last night I thought for sure the talent was on the Panthers' side at the quarterback position. And in the end, it mattered more about who had the experience and the smarts to get the job done. I mean, Peyton Manning's numbers last night were not great. Didn't even get him anywhere near the conversation at MVP, in my opinion, compared to what Von Miller did. But it was certainly enough to win the football game.
We'll come back with Dave Ennett, who has questions for you on the game and also personal questions.
Not that personal.
Right after we take care of traffic, more with Adam Hogue in a moment. At Adam Hogue, ADAMHOGE. Here's Mary.
And we had our opportunities. It wasn't nothing special that they did. We dropped balls. We turned the ball over. Gave up sacks. Threw errant passes. That's it. They scored more points than that.
Cranky Cam Newton after losing the Super Bowl last night. We go back to Adam Hogue. And we connected, by the way. Hamp was missing earlier this morning. We put out a giant missing persons report. The report wasn't giant. It was just a report on a giant missing person. And we had some sort of miscommunication. So we're going to, we'll get Hamp on at some point this week because we can't wrap up the football season by not talking.
And there was something, actually, I wanted to throw at Hamp, which was a comment after the game.
But he's not. You understand he's not on the air right now.
I do understand.
Okay.
I do understand that.
You understand this is Adam Hogue.
Yeah, but I think Adam can speak to this.
Oh, okay,
and I can speak, and you can speak to this, and
okay.
I can speak to
all
this.
All right, then.
Danny, I'm a lot smaller than Hamp.
Yes,
I'm not as scared of Adam as I am of Hamp.
Do you know Hamp there's an equivalent, almost like a metric system of sorts as a chart, and Hamp is three Hogues. Yeah, he's
that actually might be accurate.
It could,
yeah,
be.
Could be.
That could, by the way, Adam tweeted last night when they invited viewers to cast their ballots online for Super Bowl MVP. Adam voted for John Scott, which I thought was a really
well
nice
done
touch.
By you.
Yeah,
well,
that
done.
Was good.
Yeah,
that was
well
good. Danny Trevathan of the Broncos after the game said, "You're going to ask me how good their defense is." Number one, in my opinion, over 85 Bears. If
Ooh.
Not number one, number two. You know what? They were great last night. Their defense was great. I'm not sure you would say they're better than the 85 Bears or the Ravens. You know, I think there are a few teams that I think earned where they are in history.
You go back to that Ravens season, mm-hmm. and Hogue was, what, three at that point?
Right.
But you go back to that Ravens season in 2001? 2001?
2000, I think.
But the defense was the story all season long. The Denver defense was really good, but there was always talk about the offense. It was Manning. It was Brock Osweiler. They were never defense.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bears' defense was off the chart, obviously. So I'd put them three. I think it is the third best defense I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think they're in that conversation.
And by the way, it includes the Seahawks from a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Who just murdered the Broncos, yeah. And the Seahawks defense was crazy good.
That's true.
Yeah, and I would put the Seahawks up there, too. Sometimes we have short-term memories. Let's remember that the Bears in that Super Bowl in 1985 only allowed 123 yards in that game. And the Broncos last night still allowed 315.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even think they're anywhere close to the 85 Bears. But like I said earlier, I think in terms of dominating Super Bowl performances, it was very impressive. And individually, Von Miller was unbelievable, definitely deserved the MVP, and he's literally the most valuable player because as he hits free agency here, he's going to make a ton of money. By the way, with a little small Bears angle, you mentioned Danny Trevathan. That's a guy to keep in mind for the Bears in the offseason. He is also a free agent, inside linebacker, who played for John Fox. So he certainly fits the mold of somebody the Bears could go after.
And by the way, you could forgive Danny Trevathan because he was born in 1990.
Yeah, so what does he know? Andre Darlis is in New Hampshire. Andre, have any of the candidates... Oh, she just stepped away from the microphone. I'm going to ask her when she comes back if any of the candidates have declared that they got an endorsement by anyone related to Peyton Manning or the Broncos, because that would be the move today. That would be the move for the candidates.
Sneaky move by Peyton to get a Budweiser mention in there.
Not so sneaky, dude. He was beating people over the head with it.
But they're not allowed to endorse beer.
Right, but so he apparently owns a part of a distributorship or two.
Right, I saw that. Yes. However, if he is walking away from the game, then he can't get in trouble for it.
Yeah. Well, the important thing is he needs the money.
Exactly.
I think somebody at the Budweiser, maybe it was Papa John or somebody at the Budweiser distributorship said, I dare you. See if you can get it in.
Well, isn't Budweiser the official beer of the NFL?
I believe so.
Yeah, so how much is the league going to protest over him giving their big advertiser a little extra?
Probably not that much. By the way, how much did a beer cost at the Super Bowl yesterday?
I would guess that it cost $9.50.
I'm going to say it was $13.
$13 for a regular beer, $15 for a premium.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm. How about a pretzel? How much are you going to pay for a pretzel at
like
Super Bowl?
One of the soft pretzel?
No.
I would say would be $8.
$8 is exactly right. How about a bag of peanuts, Adam Oak?
Let's go $6.50.
$7. Lobster mac and cheese is one of the delicacies that you can get at the stadium.
$18.
Palo Alto.
$25. $20. $17. $20
is the number.
Is this the Price is Right?
These next two are my favorites. Next three are my favorites. A box of popcorn? By the way, I don't know if it's a box or a barrel. You know, but it's one of those, and it's a souvenir barrel, I'm sure. How much for the popcorn?
12.
8.
10.
15.
Oh. What?
Jesus.
Jumbo hot dog? It's a hot dog.
It's a jumbo.
Foot-long jumbo hot dog at the Super Bowl.
Foot-long?
Yeah.
Oh, that's 12.
Yeah, I'd say 12 bucks.
11 bucks.
Okay.
Slice of pizza?
Again, probably 11 bucks.
Yeah, 10 bucks.
$10. Super Bowl 50 bucket hat, $50. A Super Bowl 50 Manning jersey, $175. Let's see. Caps, $40. And so it goes. The list continues.
Do you know that for the game in New Orleans in 1986, the 85 Bears, their Super Bowl, you could buy a ticket face value that year for $75. Cheapest ticket yesterday, face value?
$500.
Up.
$1,000?
Wasn't it $8?
No, $8.50.
Yeah.
Well, I went to the – I remember going to the Super Bowl in Minneapolis in 91. It was the Redskins and the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was $175 for face value then.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, and the aftermarket resale biz, $5,000 was the low end of what they were selling tickets for. Imagine if you paid, say, you wanted good seats, and you paid $25,000 for a couple of tickets to that game yesterday. Really? But then again, I guess you've got it to lose. You know, one of the things, Adam, that stuck out about the game yesterday to me was what a flatline snooze fest it was. And to me, that's Jim Nance and Phil Simms and the CBS production of it. There was nothing about the game that popped. Neither one of them made it exciting. Did you have that vibe or not?
No, I mean, eventually the game needs to carry, the action needs to carry it, and it certainly wasn't one of my favorite Super Bowls ever. I would agree that Phil Simms is not my favorite analyst of all time when it comes to NFL broadcast teams. I don't mind Jim Nance all that much, but it was not a great Super Bowl. And even the technology that they hyped up all week that they were going to bring to the game, the camera angles, the only thing that was new was that 360 thing, the 360 angle that they did.
Yeah, whatever.
But it was so zoomed out, it was like,
it wasn't that special. Didn't work.
Ultimately, I mean, if it's a sloppy, poorly played game, which that one, to a certain respect, was, it doesn't matter who's in the booth.
Right.
It's going to be tough.
Dave, you've made a lot of dog games sound good. It's the talent in the booth.
Go Cats.
We actually found a couple of guys who could call the game. Do we have my two new German friends? Von Miller recovers a fumble in German. Listen.
Defense der Broncos übernimmt die Geschichte hier. Ich bin gar nicht mehr.
Von Miller hat mal wieder gezeigt, was für ein unfassbarer Spieler das ist. Tackle Newton, Blindside, er hat ihn nicht mal kommen sehen.
The blindside in German is blindside?
It sounds like Will Ferrell doing it. Von Miller!
It's like Arnold doing play-by-play.
At Adam Hogue. Thank you, buddy. We're back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Von Miller.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN.
I love Beyonce, but Beyonce's... Beyonce's, what was the name of the album? What's the name of the new album, the new tour? Formation?
Yeah.
It's just a Rhythm Nation ripoff, isn't it? That's what it felt
it
like
really reminded me of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't do anything for me.
It's not really a ripoff. It's 25 years later.
Yeah.
But it's not the first time you've seen the move. Andrea Darlis is in New Hampshire, and she's at the media center. Is she at her post at this time, do we know?
I am at my post. I'm back.
We don't have a monitor where we can see you there, but what did you think of Beyonce's formation?
I loved it. I
didn't,
thought
didn't it remind you, though,
it.
Of Rhythm Nation?
Yeah, it did remind me of Rhythm Nation a little bit, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, the Janet Jackson. I you know, though, Beyonce just, she always kind of reinvents herself, but boy, she's got the moves.
Here's the thing, if you're wondering whether or not you can step up enough for Valentine's Day and really impress the woman that you love, Jay-Z sent Beyonce 10,000 roses before the game yesterday. 10,000 roses, all delivered by one kid named Timmy.
Yeah, hold on, I gotta go back to the car.
Poor kid, with all those thorns, his fingers are all bleeding.
Hands are bleeding. Unbelievable. All right, so lay the land out for us today in New Hampshire. You said you got a list of where everybody's going to go. Where will you be between 10 o'clock and reporting back for Roe?
You know, I'm going to try and hit a couple of these rallies. Chris Christie right now is speaking to veterans at a VFW hall. Donald Trump actually having a rally right now. We're going to have some of that audio coming up for the big story in about 20 minutes
where,
or so.
You dropped out. Where's Trump's rally?
Trump's rally is going to – it's happening right now. And it's in Salem. It's in Salem, New Hampshire. And we're going to play some of that audio, actually, at the big story coming up at 9:30. And then all the other candidates are crisscrossing. John Kasich, he needs to do well here, obviously, but he's got like six events going on today, four town halls, and then an election eve rally. They're all having big rallies tonight. Trump's having a huge rally at the Verizon Center. He says he's going to try and get 4,000 to 5,000 people there. So that means probably two.
He's always about how many people are there. That's his whole rap. His whole rap is record crowd. Everybody loves me. More people than everybody else had.
I was actually listening to a little bit of the rally that he's having right now in Salem, and he started out by saying, I'm not going to talk about Iowa. I want to talk about the people of New Hampshire. But as far as Iowa was concerned, if I had a chance to go back and do it all over again, you know, he went back to talking about the people of New Hampshire and how he needs the votes. It's crucial. He does lead in the polls here, but 4 out of 10 New Hampshire voters say they're still undecided, that according to ABC News polling numbers.
The two people who could not get anything done if they were elected president are Trump and Cruz. Trump, because nothing he's put forth can be paid for. Nothing he's put forth is realistic. And Cruz, because everyone in Congress hates him. You know, and you might say, well, it's the president. You got to work with him. Well, you know, tell that to Obama. And it's not going to happen. And I wish the Trump and Cruz supporters would understand it's not just about being elected. It's about what happens after they're elected. And neither one of those guys could get anything done.
Now, you wonder, we keep talking about Bernie Sanders getting the young vote, and it's very, very true. Although there was a story today here in the local paper that said he's many of the seniors and the older voters are kind of turning toward Bernie Sanders
as well. Well, Sanders, too. Sanders can't pay for any of his stuff.
Yeah, no. And he's expected to take New Hampshire, but what he's doing tonight is he's holding two separate concerts, Steve, and he's having one on a college campus, a community college in Durham, and then another one in Derry. And he's going to have some local musicians come and play. One is a very well-known performer who performs at a lot of coffee houses throughout the state as well. So he's having mini concerts. They're calling them student concerts.
Bernie Sanders was very funny on Saturday Night Live.
Yes, he was.
He was really good. But just to review, your top four candidates on the Democrat side, Bernie Sanders can't get it paid for. Hillary may end up in jail. On the Republican side, Ted Cruz, everybody hates him, and Donald Trump is living in fantasy land. There's your top four, kids.
The express written consent of
it's unbelievable.
The opinions of the show host
are true. All right, so are you going to see any of your media brethren there? Because, you know, you got to have all the CNN types wandering around and the Fox News types. Compliment Megyn Kelly on her hair. She's concerned about her hair.
I will compliment Megyn Kelly on her. Yeah, there's a lot of media folks around here. Andrea Canning was just interviewing Chris Christie. We're all kind of milling around. We all kind of give each other the obligatory, you know, head nod when
yeah.
we see each other. Like,
hey, media.
Hey.
What's up?
Sup.
Sup, media. All right, so stand by. We've got some folks from the auto show we're going to talk to. Of course, on Friday, you and I will be out there with Fifth Third Bank. And,
yeah, that'll be fun.
And before 10 o'clock, Kevin, I'd like to get you involved in a bit of a discussion on a little bit of a tech storm that happened on Saturday night.
Amen.
In relation to our attempts to get Speaker Madigan on the show.
Absolutely.
All right. Get take people behind the scenes here a little bit. It's 9:16, more with Andrea in New Hampshire. The show continues live from the Allstate Showcase Studio next. Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. Thought it'd be the theme for the auto show. You know, for years when I did the afternoon show, we were live from the auto show, and I think Roe's going to be out there, isn't he?
Roe will be out there, I believe. Bill and Wendy, I know they were out there last year, so we'll be all over the place. And last year we did a fun video with John DeCoste. Maybe we'll head back out there again.
Yeah,
the website.
John will be in tomorrow for updates on all sorts of things, including his ever-expanding YouTube channel. Filled with videos that are completely pointless. What we're trying to do is, and you know this, Andrea, is to make John famous enough where he'll leave the show.
Is that the goal?
That's the goal.
Oh, poor
That's the
John.
Goal that we have.
You know, his YouTube channel, I actually catch myself watching it and watching it and watching it. You know, you get sucked in.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting sucked in mindlessly. It's crazy.
Have you seen the one where he makes toast?
No, you've been begging him to do that for how long?
Well, I'm not begging is a strong word, but
there's a video
of him making toast. There's a video of him actually trying to figure out which remote is the right one.
Remote
so, I mean, this
to make
is stuff.
Toast?
This is, no, not a toast remote. It's a separate video, remotes. You know how we all have like 19 remotes?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those. Auto Show. It's Auto Show time again, one of the great events in Chicago, and Mike McGrath is here, co-chair for the Auto Show. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me this morning.
Nice to see you. You know, this is one of the great end of winter events. And I know what you're saying. Hey, knucklehead, we got 6 weeks of winter left. But to me, when the auto show hits, you can see the finish line for winter.
It really is the perfect timing. You know, 2 weeks of February, dismal, cold, gray, get in a million square feet at the McCormick Place, be able to walk around in 72 and sunny temperatures. And then spring's here. It's March.
Now, the McCormick Place folks are always busy. When do you do the load-in for all the cars?
Today. Today and tomorrow, they are setting up all the show kits, the lights, laying the carpet. It's all going on right now.
And how many cars are going to be in the show?
Generally between 500 and 700.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so
how does that physically work? That's got to be a production because you've got to time out when the cars are coming in, and they're not going up the escalator.
Staging is and the logistics of it is really incredible to see. I you know, personally, you know, that is not my skill set, but I have seen it happen, and it is amazing to watch how many people are working down there with all the trades. You know, I mean, think there's got to be a 500,000 feet of carpet they're laying down there.
How about that?
Then all the wood floors and all the lights in the ceiling and all the stages and kits.
And by the way...
Before the cars even go in.
Yeah, and by the way, the lighting and the manufacturer's displays, that's not something they use in another show. They put this up for the 2 weeks, and they put up specific lighting because you want your product to show as good as it can, all the turntables and different things. It's got to be crazy.
It is. You know, every convention hall is different. So you're right. All that carpet, you know, a lot of those lights are, you know, they don't throw the lights out, but that carpet's all gone. It's in the garbage at the end.
Pretty amazing. In the manufacturer's displays, each year you try to do something a little different, a little cooler, a little more eye-catching.
Well, you know, the cars are always the stars of the show, and the cars are always changing. But this year, this will be a brand new look for the Chicago Auto Show. We've kind of separated the halls into, you know, a luxury side, you know, where most of the domestic and luxury imports will be, and then more of the mainstream brands in the big hall. And what we were able to do with that was some of the test tracks, like Jeep and Toyota. Took up a lot of square footage, but they were in the very back and kind of separated from, you know, the rest of their vehicles. Well, now they have them housed in one area, so when you go to Toyota, you get to see the trucks, the cars, the concepts, you know, the same thing for Jeep and Chrysler and Ford as well.
And your dealership is?
My dealerships are the McGrath Lexus stores in Chicago and Westmont, the McGrath Acura stores in Chicago and Westmont, and McGrath City Honda and Hyundai on the far west side of Chicago on Grand and near Harlem.
And the thing that, Dave, I don't know if you know this, but the thing that was a surprise to me, and this goes back to years ago when I started doing the auto show, is how many people come to the auto show shopping, and they'll window shop it, they'll talk to the dealer, because all the dealers have representatives there. We'll talk to the dealers. And am I right about this? Next week, or not next week. Well, I suppose next week to some extent, but next week and the week after are huge weeks for you guys.
Yeah, this is really one of the greatest auto shows in the country because it is the biggest consumer show. We get the most people that come through of any show in the country. But more importantly, we see the biggest uptick in sales after the show ends. You know, nationally, the Chicago metro market has the biggest March and April in the country. And I think in large part, that's because of everybody going down to the Chicago Auto Show shopping for a car, can see everything under one roof, and we get a few nice days in
March. You know what it is, Dave? It's car foreplay.
You go in,
you get all fired up about the car you want, and then you go to your dealer and you grab it.
You know, that's why I do think there's a lot of truth in that, don't you? I mean, you go there and you see all these great new cars, and you get excited about it, and then you do want to go out and get one.
Yeah, you do, and so it's a great for the 400 dealers here in Chicagoland, but it's also great for the families to get the kids out and do something together. You know, in these cold days, there's not a whole lot to do outside the home.
Now, I think you know this. I'm a Chevy guy, but when General Motors obviously has several product lines. And do some of the bigger, it used to be the big three, it's like the big two and a half now, do they try to outdo each other? Are the plans secret from each other? You know, I don't picture Ford calling Chevy and going, here's what we're doing.
You know, there's always a race to be the best. Doesn't matter if it's the big two and a half, as you said, or the imports. You know, everybody wants to have the latest and greatest and have an edge over the competition. One of the things you'll see at this year's show is probably more concepts than we've ever had.
And you got a cool one you really like?
Well, some of the concepts were concepts years ago that are a reality today. And it used to be you'd go see a concept and that car would never come out. You know,
right.
It would be kind of a styling.
They're all Batmobiles.
Yeah, yeah. But this year, Lexus LC, which was a concept 2 years ago, is an actual production car, and it's down there, the Acura NSX. You got to check out Hyundai's new Genesis line. They've separated their premium cars and are starting a new luxury franchise. These may be some of the sexiest luxury cars I've ever seen. They're concepts down there. On top of the concepts, technology, self-driving cars, autonomous driving, that is... You know, something everybody's interested in, and it's almost in every new car today, even at an affordable level, going down to the Chicago Auto Show will give you a first opportunity to test some of that technology and see how it works if you don't have it in your car already.
And everything is the connected car. It's all about the connected car. You know, the computer console in the center of your car is where the radio used to be. If you look at a Tesla, it's got that kind of vibe. And all cars are going to go to that at some point. But it's going to be interesting to see how that's all managed, because without a driverless car, you can't be watching video while you drive, Mike.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You're still going to be listening to the radio. That's we're key.
I hope so. It entertains me.
Yeah. Well, nice to see you. I know how busy you are. I appreciate you coming over. So if people want to get tickets, they want information on the entire show. Obviously, it starts with the First Look for Charity Friday night, which is a great event. And then Saturday morning, good to go. But what do? Just go to the website?
Yeah, ChicagoAutoShow.com will get you the tickets. We'll also give you the charity tickets. Friday night is the charity event. You know, if you can afford to go, it's really a great look at the show. There's
and
wide
people dressed
spaces.
Up all fancy.
Yeah, you know, it is a black tie event. We've got 30 of Chicago's finest restaurants. Joe Stone Crab is there. You know, a lot of the liquor distributors giving away free champagne and alcohol. It's a nice opportunity to see all the cars under one roof and support the charities, all local here in Chicago. There's 18 of them.
And giving away a car again or two?
Giving away two cars. We're giving away a Lincoln and a Jeep.
And by the way, if you've never been to the First Look for Charity, this is not something where they go, yeah, we'll give it away to somebody next time. It's somebody there that night who has a ticket will win those two cars.
That's right.
Two people, obviously.
You must be present to win.
Yeah.
If we pull a ticket and we can't find the winner,
we'll
pull another ticket. We want somebody to drive those cars home, and they will.
Yeah, so it's a cool event and raises a lot of money for charity. So the Chicago Auto Trade Association does a nice job of that.
They do. $2.5 million is what we raised last year, and we're looking for more this year.
All right, Mike. I look forward to seeing you there, and in a couple of weeks you'll sleep again, so don't worry.
Yeah, we'll see you Friday night, and thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike McGrath. And website for the dealerships, if you want to throw it out?
McGrath Lexus, McGrathAcura.com, McGrathCityHondaHyundai.com.
All right, Google McGrath and you'll get there.
You'll get there.
All right, 9:30, back with the big story in Andrea, New Hampshire. Next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
:46 in the morning, and Orion Samuelson rejoins us live from the desert. This is February 8th, 2016, and I suppose though. That certainly everybody in the Tribune and WGN family knows, but most people in Chicago could probably tell you where they were on February 8th when you know, all the terrible news happened.
True, and, you know, for those of us who were close to Bob, and it took me about 6 months to even talk to him because he was so different from the WGN Wally Phillips days that I knew. And we had this loud cackle and all these things that he would do. And so for 6 months, I thought, this is the end of WGN. And when he passed, he was really my closest friend at WGN. We did a lot of things together, including a trip to China. And I'll remember the day, as I'm sure a lot of other people. I had a luncheon meeting at the 410 Club across the street in the Wrigley Building. When I walked back and went into the newsroom, it was, everybody was, well, a mixture. Can't believe it. What's going on? Is this Bob? And as I walked through, they gave the tail number of the airplane that crashed onto the roof of the hospital, and I knew immediately it was Bob. And just couldn't believe it, really, because it was kind of interesting when I would do the morning show with him. It was a nice morning, look out the window, sun shining as we were in Studio A on the ground floor, and he'd say, good day to go flying, Orion, why don't you come with me? And of course, I had the noon show, and so my answer was, well, I can't, I'm working. But I remember that day, he looked out and said, looks like a nice day, and it was clear, and as a matter of fact, when the mid-air collision occurred, I think one of the reasons was visibility, because landing at the Waukegan Airport at that time of day, you were looking into the sun, which didn't help your vision, and at the airport at Waukegan, all they had was a man in the tower with binoculars, no radar, and they had two-way radio communication, and that was about it. So it was stunning. It was a real loss because, as I've said many times, the talent that Bob had was he could go from being an absolute clown 1 minute and the next minute could be discussing terrorism, the Middle East, or any other serious situation, never lose credibility. He could go from that to serious. And I have to say, Steve, you are right up there with him. Being able to do that, I think, is just a real talent.
Great compliment, and I appreciate it. How is Christine?
We've not seen Christine for a while. Gloria stays in touch with emails and that sort of thing. But she doesn't come to the desert that much anymore. So we used to get together out here when we'd come out because when Bob died, he was building a new house in the desert, and it was about three-quarters finished. And Christine never went into that house after it happened. But Christine, great lady, great spirit, handling it well, and I think enjoying it as much as she can without Bob.
There was a student pilot that was killed on that day, his neighbor Herman Lusher as well. A tragedy for three families, obviously, but the large family of Bob Collins fans and the people around the Midwest and around Illinois, the entire industry, was really touched by that. And I think a lot of people forget he's only 58 at the time. He packed a lot of life into 58 years.
Yeah, he did, really. And other thing that I enjoyed about Bob is we'd go out to dinner. And, they didn't have children, and so if we were seated at a table next to a family, he would ask to be moved because he wanted to be able to carry on a conversation without kids disturbing him and that sort of thing. And we just had a lot of great times together. We really did.
We're going to play a clip here of Bob Collins on the radio, and most of you who listen to this station listen to Bob for a lot of years. And it's a great honor to sit in the same chair as Wally and Bob and Spike Odell. And I say this every year when we remember this day, but I maintain that it's still the greatest thing I've ever seen on the radio. Spike Odell was doing the afternoon show and knew that Bob had passed and knew that it was his plane for a long time. And while other media outlets were tripping over each other to report it first, out of respect for Christine and respect for Bob's family and those absolutely closest to them, Spike had to do a show and be on the air and act like, hey, we're looking into it, but moving forward, and we'll see what happens. And it was gutsy. It was creative. It was well done. And while the biggest piece at the time of GN was gone, he had to proceed. And then the next morning, of course, he had to go in and take over the morning show. So I don't know. I still think it was amazing broadcasting on behalf of Spike as well.
It really was. I don't think it could have been handled any better on the air by a friend than it was by Spike that day. I had a speaking engagement in North Dakota that next day, and I'm thinking, golly, do I want to do this? Do I want to go? And then I decided there was nothing I could do in Chicago, so I kept the commitment. But I remember driving the rental car from Grand Forks to the small town and wiped tears away for the whole trip because you just couldn't believe it. And, of course, mid-air collisions are among the worst airplane accidents you can have. So
yeah, there's no way to get out of it.
Nope.
And I barely knew Bob, but I always enjoy hearing the stories from you. And I'll say it again, none of us in town, and this includes Brandmeier, includes everybody who ever did a morning show, Fred Winston, everybody that ever competed against Bob, really couldn't understand until you met Bob or listened to him for more than a few days why he was kicking your ass. And it's because he was consistent, he delivered, he was funny, he was entertaining, he was compelling, he was maddening, he was all of those things. For those of you who don't know Bob, check this out. And for those of you who do, I think you'll enjoy it. Here's Mr. Collins.
Some things I have learned as I age. age 6. I've learned that I like my teacher because she cries when we sing Silent Night. Age 7, I've learned that you can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. Age 9, I've learned that when I wave to people in the country, they stop what they're doing and wave back. Age 13, I've learned that just when I get my room the way I want it, Mom makes me clean it up. Age 14, I've learned that if you want to cheer yourself up, you should try cheering somebody else up. Age 15, I've learned that although it's hard to admit, I secretly am glad my parents are strict with me. Age 24, I've learned that silent company is often more healing than words or advice. Age 26, I've learned that brushing my child's hair is one of life's great pleasures.
When you only got 100 years to live.
Age 29, I've learned that wherever I go, the world's worst drivers follow me there. Age 39, I've learned that if somebody says something unkind about me, I must live so that no one will believe it. Age 41, I've learned that there are people who love you dearly but just don't know how to say it. Age 44, I've learned that you can make somebody's day simply by sending them a little card. Age 46, I've learned that the greater a person's sense of guilt, the greater his need to cast blame on others. Age 47, I've learned that children and grandparents are natural allies. Age 49, I've learned that singing Amazing Grace can lift my spirit for hours. Age 50, I've learned that the motel mattresses are better on the side away from the phone. Age 51, I've learned that you can tell a lot about a man by the way he handles these three things: a rainy day, lost luggage, and tangled Christmas tree lights. Age 52, I've learned that keeping a vegetable garden is worth a whole medicine cabinet full of pills. Age 53, I've learned that regardless of your relationship with your parents, you miss them terribly after they die.
When you only got 100 years to live, half time goes by, suddenly you're wise, you know the blink of an eye. 67 is gone, the sun is getting.
Age 58, I've learned that making a living is not the same thing as making a life. Age 61, I've learned that if you want to do something positive for your children, try improving your marriage. Age 62, I've learned that life sometimes gives you a second chance. Age 64, I've learned that if you pursue happiness, it will elude you. But if you focus on your family, the needs of others, your work, and meeting new people, and doing the very best you can, happiness will in fact find you. Age 66, I've learned that whenever I decide something with kindness, I almost always make the right decision. Age 72, I've learned that everybody can use a prayer. Age 73, I've learned to believe in miracles. And to tell you the truth, I've seen a few. Age 82, I've learned that even if I have pains, I don't have to be one. Age 85, I've learned that every day you should reach out and touch someone. People love the human touch. Holding hands, a warm hug, or a friendly pat on the back, it's all wonderful.
When you only got 100 years to live.
At age 92, I've learned that I still have a lot to learn.
It's 9:57, and last word to you, Dave Ennett. You were telling us about an Amazing Grace moment.
Well, you heard the reference there to Amazing mm-hmm. Grace, and whenever anybody passed away who was notable or somebody close to Bob, I think Big O would back me up on this, that he would play the bagpipe version of Amazing Grace. And the next morning, the morning after he died, at the end of the show, which Spike hosted, that's how they ended the show. And if you walk through the hallways here at WGN, there were people just sobbing. It was incredible.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You believe it's been 16 years?
No.
I can't believe it.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. Orion, thank you
but
for
there's
that.
There's still some Jack Daniels left, and so on his birthday at the end of the month. We'll have to toast it.
Yes. Well, I'm counting on you being here for that if you can be.
We'll be.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. It is 8. No, it's not, Steve. It's 10:03. That's 8:03 for our Pacific listeners.
Right.
We just want to let
people
know.
Got to carry
that.
The two.
Bill, you just announced your Super Bowl prediction. You
I'm ready to make my way? Super Bowl prediction. Denver 24, Carolina 10. I'm going to go that, 24-10.
I would say two things, good luck and you got to get cable.
I just called Slots of Fun, their sports book, to see if they'd take my bet. They said they would not, so
yeah.
I'm looking elsewhere.
Losers.
Yep.
How was your weekend, Wynn?
Pretty fantastic.
Good. You going to tell everybody about it?
Not really.
All right, stand by for no details on Wendy's weekend and the Bill and Wendy Show starting right now.